Sunday Tama Talk.
Good morning, listeners. We are here for another Sunday morning Tama Talk. I'm Prakru Bhadika Dr. Barton Yanati Roe from the United States, and I'm going to interview Dr. Rajyan Wisit, the abbot of Wat Lung Po So Thamakayaram in Dumnern Sedawak District of Ratburi Province, Thailand. Dr. Rajyan Wisit is one of Thailand's most distinguished meditation masters and Buddhist scholars, dedicated to revitalizing Buddhism with equal emphasis on scripture and meditation. He has led Wat Lung Po So to become a center of excellence in both scripture study and meditation practice, training over 20,000 participants annually in Tamma, Pali, meditation, and related areas. Dr. Rajyan Wisit, welcome, Venerable Sir. This is our sixth Sunday Tamma Talk. We've been examining Lord Buddha's enlightened wisdom from various perspectives. Last time we had discussed the Four Noble Truths, focusing on the Eightfold Path, which details the three trainings, right moral behavior, right mental training, and right wisdom. Today, we will focus specifically on sila, or right moral behavior, the first training, examining in detail Lord Buddha's challenging insights into moral cause and effect, the sweet and bitter fruits of good and bad behavior. To begin, could you please review briefly what we have discussed previously?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to begin by correcting one statement we made earlier, based on a misconception that is widespread throughout Thailand. It concerns Gondanya and the five hermits who were Lord Buddha's first disciples. It has been widely said that Gondanya was the youngest of the 108 Brahmins who foretold the future of Prince Siddhartha as a baby, and that he was the only one to predict firmly that Prince Siddhartha would definitely become a Buddha, and that he organized the sons of four other Brahmins to follow him to serve Prince Siddhartha, because the other Brahmins had all passed away. I have recently learned the correct information published in a commentary to the Prasuttanta Patika, Majjhima Nikaya, Mulapannat, Sutta, number 5, volume 2, article 284, pages 94-100, published by Mahajuralongkorn University. The correct information is that there were only 8 Brahmins invited to the naming ceremony for Prince Siddhartha, not 108. They had been previously invited when Queen Sri Mahamaya had her dream about the white elephant. Gondanya was not one of them. He was the son of one of them. Of the 8 Brahmins, the first 3 predicted that the baby would be either a Buddha or a world-conquering monarch. The last 5 all predicted that he would definitely go forth to the religious life and become a Buddha. These 5 Brahmins were elderly, but told their sons to follow Prince Siddhartha. When he ordained, these 5 sons became the 5 hermits. Gondanya was the eldest of them. They all followed Prince Siddhartha when he ordained and studied from Alara Kalamakot and Uddaka Ramabuddha along with him. The names of the first 3 Brahmins at the naming ceremony were number 1, Rama Brahm, number 2, Tachapram, number 3, Lakkhana Brahm. This tree predicted that he would become either a Buddha or an emperor. The last five Brahmins were Chotimandi Brahm, whose son was Gontanya, Yanya Brahm, whose son was Vapa, Supoja Brahm, whose son was Patiya, Suyama Brahm, whose son was Mahanama, Suttata Brahm, whose son was Asachi. I apologize for the previous misinformation and hope that this correction will help other Thai scholars to understand properly.
Thank you very much, sir. Now let's turn to sila, or moral behavior. How do the right speech, right action, and right livelihood that we discussed last time relate to the five precepts?
The five precepts are teachings which the Buddhist undertakes personally, like New Year's resolution, for self-control and improvement. They stem from Lord Buddha's enlightened insight into the true natures of reality, spanning not only one lifetime, but multiple rebirths. The lifetimes, in particular, the five precepts, are designed to avoid the five major causes of rebirth into hell and the suffering realms. Overall, they aim at self-control of behavior, so as not to violate or cause suffering to oneself and other living beings. For example, the first precept is to refrain from intentional killing. If this precept is violated, this brings about suffering for other beings and also produces bad effects for the one doing the killing. In the present lifetime, it can cause direct retaliation, such as being killed in return or being seized and thrown into jail. Lord Buddha perceived that it also results in sickliness and very similarly chance life, threatening events such as accident, as well as a shorter lifespan. He gained the insight that when a cosmos is new and humans are pure, the average human lifespan is about 1 asankhaya, or 10 to the 148th power years, which seems like an almost infinite length of time over the centuries. However, the average human lifespan decreases by about 1 year per 100 years due to killing other beings. Thus, in Buddha's day, the lifespan was 100 years. Now, 2,500 years after later, the average is about 75 years. Avoiding killing means avoiding killing all living beings, not just human beings. Thus, fishing and raising animals for food are clearly against the Buddhist precepts and result naturally in unwholesome effects. Buddhists even avoid killing the mosquito that is biting by just brushing it away, in addition to bad results. In the present lifetime, Lord Buddha saw that killing produces rebirth in hell. The first hell, Sanjiva, is mostly for killing. There, hell beings are brutally cut into pieces or burned to death and then revived to be killed again until the debt is paid. This continues an unimaginably long time. The average stay in Sanjiva hell is 1.6 multiplied by 10 to the 12th power earth years. After paying their debt, these beings are reborn as humans, but they will be sickly, have short lifetimes, and suffer other serious problems. abortion. For example, first causes the doers to be born in hell. Then, eventually, when they are reborn as humans, they will die in the womb, either before or during the rebirth processes. Suicide is also killing and result in going to hell when eventually reborn as humans. This being continue to commit suicide time after time. This positive opposite of killing is doing good and helping others, treating all beings with loving kindness and mercy. This will win good friends and develop warm relationships in the same lifetime. Thus, humans who steer clear of killing live peacefully, free from enemies, and also avoid the horrific future karmic results. Such wholesome behavior opens opportunities for making further merits and receiving higher rewards, such as celestial rebirth.
And what about the second precept, to avoid theft?
Those who violate the second precepts to avoid theft, corruption, and cheating will not be happy in their present lifetime, because they will be continually warning that their bad conduct might be revealed and punished. They may also be punished legally by the court of justice, and they are likely to suffer from being cheated by others. In future lifetime, they will reap the karmic results of their bad behavior. The second hell, Kalasutta, is primarily for thieves. Here, hell beings are laid out on red hot steel plates, marked off with black threads, and then cut into pieces over and over again. The average stay is 13 multiplied by the 10 to the 12 power earth years. Swindlers and thieves may also be reborn as one of the 12 kinds of hungry ghosts who wander suffering from hunger and searching in vain for food and clothing. After repaying their debt, they will again be reborn as humans, but will be very poor, perhaps even beggars. The positive opposite of theft is doing good with generosity and honesty, such as donating one's own property, sharing dhamma and useful knowledge in one's career, and sacrificing one's lifetime for foregoing one's own happiness to help others.
And then what about those who violate the third precept on committing adultery?
Those who commit adultery or perform immoral sexual acts with uncontrolled passions will suffer in their present lifetime from strained relationships within the family, quarreling, and broken homes. They may even be killed over jealousy. This violation causes big social problems, even into the next generation, because it also results in children being born out of wedlock, and the children suffer psychological problems from lack of loving, loyal parents. Thus, they may grow up as disobedient delinquents at odds with their parents, and children too will be likely to indulge in improper sexual behavior. This is very much that what we see in our present social reality. Those who commit adultery also reap the future karmic result of rebirth into the suffering realms. The third hell, Sankhata, is primarily for sexual offenders. Here, beings are first roasted in the fires of hell, and then crushed to death between two steel mountains, over and over again. The average stay is 104 multiplied by 10 to the 12th power earth years. Sexual offenders may also be reborn as animals, such as dogs or as hungry ghosts. After paying off the moral debt, the offender will eventually be reborn as a human being again, but with many lifetimes of failures. The sexual offenders will first be a prostitute for many, many lifetimes. Eventually, after that, the person becomes first a homosexual, then a woman, and eventually a man. This is what Lord Buddha perceived and reported after the Enlightenment as the reality of natural rebirth phenomena. It may seem hard to believe, but each of us has the ability to see it for ourselves if we meditate as Lord Buddha did. Samatha vipassana practice can bring the meditator to develop the supernatural vision and hearing, which permit achieving this insight for oneself. Wholesome behavior, opposite to committing adultery, is being true to one's partner and careful controlling sexual activity. It brings the immediate benefits of a stable, warm, loving family life and well-adjusted, happy children. In addition, it avoids both social problems and disastrous future personal consequences.
What about violation of the fourth precept on telling lies?
In the present lifetime, lying, deceitfulness, dishonesty, and double dealing cause one to earn a reputation as an unreliable person. This engenders lack of trust and results in fewer and fewer good friends, close colleagues, and loving partners in both work and social life. Lies are also reborn into the suffering worlds. The fourth hell, Roruva, is primarily for such hypocrites. Their hell beings are repeatedly laid face down in still lotuses and incinerated amid cries of pain. The average stay is 831 multiplied by 10 to the 12th power earth years. Lies may also be reborn as hungry ghosts or as animals. After paying their debts, they are eventually reborn as human beings again, but are unreliable and suffer from a very bad smelling mouth far beyond the usual. Wholesome behavior, opposite to deceit, is being honest with yourself and others. It results in a reputation for sincerity and reliability, which builds interpersonal trust and an expanding network of good friends and colleagues who hold one near and dear. It also avoids the terrible future consequences in store for liar.
And finally, what about violations of the fifth precept, avoiding intoxicants?
Addiction to intoxicants, or smoking cigarettes, or marijuana, or using opium, heroin, etc., being disastrous consequence immediately in the current lifetime. These consequences are most apparent directly as physical and mental disability, which can range from cirrhosis of the liver to delirium tremens. Addiction also leads to catastrophic social consequences, such as lost employment, marital separation and divorce, and potentially homelessness. Even when families stay together, addictive behavioral tendencies are usually instilled from the parents into the children. All addicts, without exception, are certain to be reborn in hell. The fifth hell, Maharorua, is primarily for alcohol and drug addicts. Its name means the hell filled with great screams of pain. In one torture, hell beings stand on steel lotuses with sharp hot plates, petals, and are burned inside out through all nine body's openings. In other torture, hell beings are kept in a huge cauldron of molten metal, which they must drink, and it burns their inside out. The average stay in Maharorua hell is 6,635 multiplied by 10 to the 12th power earth years. The seventh hell, Mahatapana, is also related. It is primarily for those descending the road to ruin, Apayamukha, like bar hopping, which often integrates intoxication, sexual excesses, and gambling. The average day here is genuinely cosmic, about half of Sabhyan Antaraka. Lord Buddha's enlightened insight revealed that addicts will eventually be reborn as humans again, after paying off their moral debt, but will be insane for many lifetimes, and then graduate to being mentally retarded. After they eventually developed beyond this, they will still remain forgetful. Wholesome behavior in this regard is avoiding alcohol and drugs. It results in clear, bright consciousness, right mindfulness, and proper understanding of Dhamma, immediately recognizing good and bad. This is very advantageous. It leads to practicing Dhamma in the right way, doing good, living better, improving mindfulness, and enjoying good physical and mental health in the future. Such exemplary behavior can lead to rebirth in the celestial realms.
What about social drinking, which is so widely prevalent in all cultures? What consequences might it bring in future rebirths?
A lifetime characterized by social drinking could result in rebirth, and as a stupid giant, yaksa, with misconception and wrong intentions, progress along Lord Buddha's Eightfold Path requires alert, clear-sighted mindfulness, which is too easily dulled by even small amount of intoxicants. In conclusion, the first of the three trainings which make up the Eightfold Path is sila, or moral behavior, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, which do not cause suffering for either oneself or for other beings. These are specified in Lord Buddha's five precepts. Diligent adherence to them generates peacefully, happy life living and open new opportunities. Violation of the five precepts produces disastrous suffering for both oneself and other living beings, both in the present and future rebirth, including the specter of hell.
Well, Dr. Pratrajan Wisit, you certainly have given us a lot to think about. The consequences of violating any of the five precepts seems to be inconceivable periods of incredible torture in hell. But how do we know that this isn't just like other fables that our parents made up when we were young to make us be good?
The beauty of Lord Buddha's teaching is that we all have the ability to see for ourselves. we can each individually follow Lord Buddha's example by meditating up to the fourth jhana to purify one mind, our mind, and attain superhuman vision, then experiencing and knowing the true nature of reality directly and unequivocally. It is not easy, but it is not impossible. Those dedicated enough to put in the effort can succeed. This is the way to know, for sure, independent of what anyone else says. Dhamma is to be seen here and now, santitiko, timeless, akaliko, inviting all to come and see, ehipasiko, leading inward, openayiko, and to be seen by each wise person for himself, pacchattang vetitappo vinyuhi. There are many trustworthy monks who have already seen for themselves.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit, for your stimulating and challenging presentation, which leaves us all with a great deal to contemplate. Now, in closing, on the eve of our King Bhumibol Adulyadet's 80th birthday, I would like to ask Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit to close with a formal blessing for His Majesty.
Before offering our blessing, may we all make our minds as clear as possible within meditation. We begin by closing our eyes gently, taking a long breath, and focusing our attention at the center of the body, just about 2 inches above the navel. You may imagine a transparent sphere as really existing there, or some may see transparent Buddha statue. Focus your attention to the center of the center while reciting the words Samma Arahang Samma Arahang to yourself over and over. Continually observe your breathing in and out, passing through the sphere. No need to follow the breath. Just stay still at the center of the center, observing your breathing and reciting Samma Arahang Samma Arahang continually and mindfully. Your mind components will gradually come together to one point at the center of the center. The mind components are vision, memory, thought, and awareness. Continue focusing your attention at the center and reciting Samma Arahang Samma Arahang, so that your mind components become more and more peaceful. Then make a wish that Lord Buddha's virtues, His purity and enlightened wisdom become yours. Purity is the word Arahang, and wisdom is from the word Samma, meaning Samma Sambuddho. Your mind components will become purer and purer, more and more peaceful, then more and more concentrated, and clearer and clearer, whether you see anything or not. When your mind comes to the most peaceful level, make a wish that all Lord Buddha's virtues be conveyed to His Majesty the King. May His Majesty enjoy more and more radiant and vigorous physical health and more and more peaceful happiness, continuing to live long and reign well, governing His country and His devoted and loyal citizens with right wisdom and long-lasting peace, protection and prosperity, free from problems and sufferings forever. Now let us all share all of our merits and loving kindness with His Majesty the King, and with all Thai people, and with all sentient beings.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.